so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Ready for the word today? Good. Good. If you're new here, please, while I'm reading, even when I'm reading the Bible or when I'm preaching, I like it when people are yelling at me saying amen or whatever and responsive to the word of God. Like I said in the first service, nobody comes to church just to watch a guy wearing what Jesse Walk calls a Ken doll jacket and just perform up on stage, right? We all come to church to receive from the word of God. Yeah, anyone come to receive from the word of God? We come to participate in the word of God, amen. And when we're responsive and responding to the word, we're receiving it into our hearts. So Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, it starts, "Woe to you!" And it starts intense. It starts hectic right there, right? Woe to you. He just starts going to town right here. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. Or as they'd say in Australia, you bloody hypocrites. You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. And you yourselves don't enter, nor will you let those who are trying to get in. Right, that's intense, right? Imagine if God is saying to you, hey, you are stopping people from getting into the kingdom of God. Woe to you. He's not talking to Eternity Church, don't worry, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, not us, not us. Relax. Right, I know this is intense, isn't it, right? This is intense, right? Woe to you. Then he goes, woe to you, teachers of the law. You hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you finally succeed, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. That's intense. Right? This is Jesus in here. I put this on my Instagram this week because I just thought it was hilarious. I'm like, Jesus is calling you a hellion. Isn't that exciting, right? I'm like he's just going after these people. And I put it up on my Instagram and someone's like, man, that's not as nice as what you normally post. And I'm like, it's the Bible. It was Jesus. Blame him, right? Woe to you, blind guides. You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath, you blind fools, what's greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gift on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, what's greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Come on. Hey, right now, after the cross, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? Now, what's more valuable? What's more important? You or the gold in your pocket? You or the credit card in your wallet? Come on. Here, he's saying, hey, the temple is more important. Verse 23, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. And I don't know what that means, but it sounds painful, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Someone needs some cream. Verse 25, woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup, but the inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean also. That's intense, isn't it? Hey, y'all. You are clean on the outside, but on the inside, you're like a dish that's been polished but has Ebola, germs, filth, garbage on the inside. This whole scripture's nuts. Can we agree? Yeah. Right? I'm glad you're at church today because I'm just going to smash you. Just going to throw rocks at you for the whole... So no, that's not what's going to happen here. In this scripture, he's not talking about you, right? He's not talking about Eternity Church. I know the culture of this church. This is not what he's talking about. But this is an important reminder for us, yeah? See, this whole thing's nuts. Jesus is going to town on these guys. It reminds me of the day he's sitting out by the temple and he's making a whip and his disciples are like, yo, bruv, what you doing? And they said, bruv, because they're from East London in this story. And he's like, yo, bruv, what you doing over here sitting down there? What you making? And Jesus is like, oh, I'm about to show you what I'm making, bruv. And so he picks up his whip and he starts whipping at people in the temple, driving them out because they've turned the temple of God into a den of thieves. So who are these people that Jesus is saying woe to, chasing around with whips and stuff? They're the Pharisees. But what do they represent? What have they done to so tick Jesus off that he's making whips and he's going to town on them right now? See, these are the people that are supposed to be leading people to God. And he starts with you closing the door on people. These are the people that are supposed to be encouraging people to understand the heart and the love and the generosity, the value that they have in God, but instead they're closing the door. These are the people who are supposed to be helping the poor, loving widows, serving the broken, but instead they walk past blind men laying on the ground while saying, I don't need to do anything extra because I gave my tithe on Sunday. Can I tell you, those sort of people tick me off. Like, just do my head in. Like, they tithe on Sunday, and on Monday, they're tightwads to the waiter. Oh, I don't need a tip, because I tithed on Sunday. Or I'm just going to tip the minimum, because I tithed on Sunday. Hey, keep your money and be generous on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then learn to tithe on Sunday as well. Amen? Come on. I don't want people who just tithe on Sunday and are jerks closing the door in people's faces all week long. Come on. You know what? Keep tithing, by the way. You should do that, right? That's awesome. Definitely tithe. But then be generous on Monday. Be kind on Tuesday. Be helpful on Wednesday. Amen. Don't be like these hypocrites. On the outside, they look perfect. They look clean. They look amazing. Everything shiny new. They got the jewelry. They got the gold. They got all the trappings. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. Nothing wrong with having gold. Nothing wrong with wearing jewelry. Nothing wrong with enjoying the way that you dress and that you look. Nothing wrong with that. These guys had all that. They had the religious symbols that said, I'm righteous. But Jesus said, you look like a bowl that's been cleaned on the outside, but inside you're full of filth and garbage that no dishwasher on earth could ever clean. You need an encounter with the Holy Spirit to fix what's happening on the inside of you blind guides. So who are these blokes? They're fake. They're fake. They're an illusion. What people are seeing isn't real. It's not really there. They remind me of a person a few weeks ago who was on a live broadcast and was asked about a female preacher and female preachers in general. And his response was just two words. He said, go home. That reminds me of these guys in the Word of God. The kind of people who aren't winning the lost. They're not doing anything to win the lost and make disciples. They're just driving people away from God. They're hurting the mission and the vision of the church. And Jesus himself said that if they ever do finally win one person to Jesus, that person will be even more a child of hell than you are. You're driving people away from God, doing the devil's work and saying you're doing it for God. It bothers me. Does it bother you?
Yeah.
Come on, it bothers me. I know it's intense. I know it's crazy, but can you imagine Jesus saying to you, yo, bruv, you're so damaging to the gospel that even if you make one disciple, that'll damage the gospel even more. That's hectic. That's what Jesus is saying to people who pretend that they're perfect. People who pretend that they have no problems. People that pretend, I'm all right, I'm good, I'm fine. But you all are going to hell. People who judge everybody for the sin in their lives. That's not this church. Hallelujah. Someone say amen. That's not Eternity Church. We are not those people. We're not pretending to be perfect. We are extra authentic. Amen. But listen up, Jesus, he wasn't against them because they were dirty on the inside. He wasn't against them because they had sin. He wasn't saying, woe to you. His issue was that they pretended that they don't have any sin. And in fact, his issue at many times in the Word of God was that they cared more about what's perceived as sin than they did about the person that could be helped. And in doing so, they drove people away from God. He wasn't woeing them because they have sin. He loves sinners, right? Like he loves us. In Scripture says that he died for us while we were still dead in our sin. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? We know that. We know that he loves sinners because he's always with sinners. We see Jesus meeting a hooker caught in the middle of a hookery, and Jesus says, I don't condemn you. Sorry, hookery's a word. It is. Like, it's been said 4 times now this weekend. So it's a word now, all right? He met a thief named Zacchaeus, and he says, yo, Zacchaeus, you bloke full of shame sitting in a tree, come down. I'm having dinner at your house tonight. Come on, this thief was more transparent than these religious people. I'm having dinner at your house. This is a thief who robbed everybody blind, not just rich people, not just poor people, like people. You're a person, you got money, he was robbing you. He's at a well chatting with an adulterer that no one else would stand there talking to. And he leads her and her whole town to God. He's friends with a woman that everybody says is a prostitute. We don't know if she was, but everybody says she was a prostitute. We see him love a criminal on the cross just before he dies and says, hey, brother, today you will be with me in heaven. Jesus isn't against you if you've got sin in your life. He's not condemning those of us who struggle. He's telling us to be authentic, to quit pretending, to stop pretending that everything's perfect on the inside and just trying to make it look good. That when we pretend to be perfect, that we prevent real growth, real traction, and real healing in our lives. See, if God wants me to be over there, and that's God's plan for my life to be over there, but I'm actually over here, if I'm pretending that I'm over there, I'm not going to get any traction to start walking over there. I've got to be honest and say, hey, that's where I ought to be, but I'm stuck here. I'm stuck in this mud, in this mess, in this struggle, and I need help. I need help. I need somebody to help me get where I'm called to be. Amen. Jesus is telling us to open ourselves up to the possibility of healing and freedom and release from these struggles that have got us captive by being real, humble, honest, and authentic about your life and your faith. Yes, I'm not perfect. Yes, I'm still growing. I'm not where I need to be. Help me get there. Yes, I'll let you down. In fact, as your pastor, let me tell you, I will let you down. I will. Stick around long enough. I will let you down. I'll say something. I'll do something. I'll forget to call somebody. I'll forget to respond to somebody's text message. Come on, I'm going to let you down. Yes, our church is full of people who sin. Eternity Church is a place where people far from God are welcome to come and discover the wonder of God. Sitting next to people who have discovered the wonder of God while still dead in their sin. But he has made us alive. Scripture says that when we come into relationship with him, we're no longer dead in our sin. We're alive in Jesus' name. Yes, we have pride in our congregation. Yes, we have adultery in our congregation. Yes, we have lying and greed in our congregation. Yes, we have anger in our congregation. I know that because a lot of you got off the interstate to come to church today. So for sure you were cussing at a Mustang or something this morning on your way to church. But all of us are less prideful than we were when we started coming to church. There's less adultery than we had, less lying than last week, less greed than yesterday, less anger than on the interstate an hour ago, amen. Come on, there's less because Scripture says that we are not what we were. Yes, I was a liar. Scripture says that that liars and this and that and the other will not enter the kingdom of God. And then it's almost like he says, but lucky that's not what you are, that's what you were. See, now we are not what we've done wrong. See, now we are righteous. Jesus says, you're righteous. Touch your neighbor, say, you're righteous. Why? Scripture says, not by any work of our own that we should boast, but by the cross. But by faith in Jesus Christ, when you give your life to Jesus Christ, he looks at you and says, brother, you're righteous. Sister, you're righteous. You are righteous. Righteousness is not perfection. Righteousness is a gift of God in our lives. Amen. We are not what we were. That is good. When a pastor stands up in front of his or her congregation and pretends to be perfect, most everybody knows it's a pile of trash. Right? Honestly. Like, most everybody knows that's absolute garbage. And they don't buy it. People are like, what a fake stinking liar. And then they don't buy it and they walk away from church disappointed. Disappointed. Or you get some people who think it's real and they know they can't attain that kind of perfection that they shouldn't even try to be that perfect. So they also walk away from church disappointed because the bloke or the woman on stage acting like she's so perfect or he's so perfect. Or maybe even worse, people believe the preacher is perfect and in an effort to fit in, they themselves pretend to be perfect without any real authentic conversations to help them out of the messes they find themselves in. Then they become, as the scripture said, twice a child of hell as the person before them. Come on. Doing more damage to the kingdom, more damage to the gospel, come on, than the person that led them. And then, after all of that, that they've already messed up, and then they've got no authentic conversations happening in their lives to help them out of their messes until they can no longer keep up the charade of perfection. And we see them on the news for tax evasions or getting caught with a hooker or for drunk driving, or maybe they started hitting their kids because there wasn't any authenticity. So back when they hit their dog harder than they should have, or they hit their dog when they shouldn't have, they couldn't be honest. They couldn't say, I got an anger problem, and it grew and it grew and it grew, and now they're hitting their kids. Is this all right? Is this too real? Like, if people were just able to be authentic and honest and real way back here when it was this big, then they might have avoided that garbage in Jesus' name. They might not have got caught with a hooker if they were able to talk about what they were thinking about way back here. But in a culture that doesn't allow authenticity, the stuff just grows and grows and grows until it explodes and ruins people's lives. If only they were in some authentic relationships that they could be honest about their struggles and say, man, I got so mad yesterday at the dog. Man, I could feel it in me. You know, I got so mad at my kids and I just felt it in me. If only they were in authentic relationships where they could be honest about their struggles and get help, prayer, and discover healing. James says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other that you may be healed, because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confess your sins to one another that you may be what? Healed. It didn't say confess your sins to one another that you may be saved. That's an absolute distortion and garbage, right, that a lot of religious institutions have done now, thinking that people have to go and confess their sins to me as the pastor or to somebody so that they can be saved. No. Your faith in Jesus Christ and your desire to make him the Lord and Savior of your life have secured your salvation. You are going to heaven. You are a believer. But God has designed us in such a way that authenticity will bring healing and wholeness and joy back into our lives. So if you've been struggling with sin, or even if you just need a physical healing, or if you've been overcome by anxiety, or you can't handle the pressure anymore, you need to tell somebody. You're allowed to be honest. I can't handle this anymore. Would you pray for me? I know you're not perfect, but you're righteous. And the same scripture that told me to tell you said that your prayer will be powerful and effective in my life. And I will be healed. That's why we have to continue to foster a culture of authenticity at Eternity Church that allows people to be real about where they find themselves in their lives. We're an extra, authentic kind of people. Amen. You don't have to put on your spiritual makeup to come to church here today. Come on. You don't have to. I didn't even put on my regular makeup today. Come on. Some people literally, does he normally? Who cares? I'm allowed to. But no. You're welcome just as you are. Right now. Just as you are. You ever seen those churches that put up that sign, no perfect people allowed? You ever seen those? Like, you know, and this is a trick. I flippin' hate those signs. Like, I hate those. Oh, I hate them. I don't want any negativity, you know, like this person's not allowed. No, like, everybody's allowed in our church, right? And I hate that sign because people who think that they're perfect need to hear the gospel as much as people who know that they're not perfect, right? Like everybody needs to hear it. So I get annoyed because there are people out there who think they're perfect. So in our church, this has been broadcast online everywhere. In our church, if you're perfect, you're allowed to come to this church. Perfect people are allowed. We just haven't had any come yet. None. None of them have turned up yet. Sorry, baby. I know. Like, my wife, you're not perfect. You're perfect for me. But you're not perfect. You're better than them. Like, but you're not perfect, all right? Like, we don't have any perfect people up in here. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he hasn't met you, sweetheart. Yeah, I have. There's none. Now, we got a lot of great people in our church. Like, we got a lot of great people in our church who are better than they were when they walked in the doors a month ago, a year ago, 5 years ago. But we're still on a journey. We're still on a journey. We're not dead. And, like, I thank God that he's not the sort of God who's like, all right, now you've got 20 years of life left. That's it. That's all I got for you. No, for the rest of my life, he's got more and better, right? More and better. And so if I'm here right now and he wants me over there, you better believe until the day I die, it's going to get better. And I'm going to get better. But I won't be perfect. I'll never be perfect. You don't have to be perfect to be welcome here. But being here is going to cause a chain reaction in your life that's going to bless your life and get you closer to where God has planned for your life. You're welcome just as you are, but God's not going to leave you just as you are. Amen. See, it's in this culture of authenticity that God's going to do miracles in your life, because you can open up and say, yeah, God, I actually need you. Like, God, I still need you. Amen. And then he can do a miracle in your life. You know, it used to be that before you went to church, you had to change yourself so you could belong. Yeah, you had to be perfect and you had to pretend and you had to dress like everybody else and you had to talk like everybody else and you had to walk like everybody else, look like everybody else. And we even used to have white churches for white people and black churches for black people and Vietnamese churches for Vietnamese people and Hispanic churches for Hispanic people. And you had to be like everybody else if you wanted to belong there, right? And even in the midst of that, you'd have a white church for people who dress like this and then a white church for people who dress like that and a black church for people who dress like this and a black church for people who are like this and you'd have a Mandarin church for someone who talks like that and walks like... And everybody had to be like everybody else. You couldn't bring your hurt in there. You couldn't bring your damage in there. You couldn't bring your drama in there. You couldn't bring your sin. Your busting up marriage wasn't allowed in there. And if, no matter what church you went to, you had to pretend that you were just like everybody else in the room. And that's if you were lucky enough to be able to physically blend in. But Jesus is saying, woe to that garbage. Woe to that kind of judgmental, backwards kind of culture. He's calling us to come to him while we are still sinners. He's saying, hey, you belong here. He's not saying, you in gray shirts belong here. You all belong here. You all are called to worship here. And in my presence and in my house, your life is going to be transformed into what I want it to look like. He's not going to transform your life into what Pastor Jesse wants it to look like. or not what your mama wants it to look like. She may be great, but no. So, but what the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords wants your life to look like. And I can tell you right now, he doesn't much care about the outside so much as the inside. It's not about the way you dress or the tattoos on your face or the piercing in your mouth. He's not even trying to keep you out if there's sin in your heart. So why would he care about a tattoo on your face? My whole back is tattooed. Who cares, right? Like, and I aren't even half done with the amount of tattoos I'm going to get. Am I allowed to say that? Kids, ask your parents first. Thought that parents would appreciate that, right? Good, yep, they do. He's just saying, hey, you belong here right now as you are. Any church that you ever go to where everybody's dressing the same, everybody's walking the same, everybody's driving the same beige Toyota Camry. Well, now, that one really is the epitome of boring, right? Like, Camrys are right, beiges are right, not great. Either, both a little bit boring, but a beige Camry. God, I've had my kids take me home, right? Like, that's all. Anyway, all right. Sorry. You go there, everybody's got the same car, everybody's got the same income level, everybody's talking the same, everybody's got the same amount of money. That's not authentic. It's not. Authenticity encourages individuality. Amen. Yeah, we're all speaking about the same Jesus. Yeah, we're all building the same culture. We're probably even talking about the same things. We all love Jesus. We all want to grow in our faith. We all want to leave sin in our pasts. I don't want to keep walking into it all the time. No, I want to be generous. I want to be passionate. We're all talking about what God's doing in his church, but God made us individuals. He made us unique and different with different tastes, different gifts, different hopes, different dreams. We all like different clothing, different cars, different hairdos. And as we chase after him with the same vision and use our unique giftings, then we're all going to build the church, bless the community, and help people come in the door instead of closing the door. And by the way, authenticity, if I can just say, because I'm not saying that you can't wear nice clothes and makeup and all that kind of gear. Authenticity has nothing to do with the outside. You can be authentic with crazy hair, tattoos, makeup, implants, lizard tongues, contacts that change the color of your eyes. No sin in any of that. In fact, if you love all of that and you have all of that and then you are afraid to come to this church because of that, that means it's not an authentic church. Just be you, my friend. Suit or tracky dacks. That's Aussie for sweatpants. Just be you in this authentic, humble, honest and real atmosphere. God will do a miracle in your life. Would you stand up with me, church, as we get ready to close the service today? Sorry, as we get ready to open up for prayer. I keep forgetting we changed the way the service runs. We've got 15 minutes left, so. Today, I want to see people break free of addictions that have hampered them for years, because they can finally come down the front and say, this is what is happening in my life. Without fear of being judged. See, it's not that we're, as people might say, soft on sin. No, I just know that the only way people will get traction is if they're actually free to talk about it. Knowing that we won't tell their wife, tell their husband, tell their friends, yell it out from stage. No, we just are going to pray so that the prayers of the righteous can be powerful and effective in your life today. I'm praying that today people will finally get free of anxieties that have kept them awake for months, but maybe you felt like you can't share that because you've got to be tough. In a moment, we're going to pray for all of those people. But first, we're going to give people an opportunity to give their lives to Jesus Christ. If you're in this place, I've told you enough about how much Jesus loves you just as you are. You don't have to pretend. One thing that might have stopped you from wanting to follow God is this thought that you've got to pretend to be like me or Nathan here. Like, no, you just be you, boo-boo. Like, you're good, right? Like, you just be you. If there is something in your life, and let me tell you, there is, because there is in my life, in all of our lives, there's something that God wants to change. And if He wants to do that in your life, like He does in mine, then when your heart is ready, He'll speak to you about it, and then He'll give you the strength and the courage and the power to have victory over that area of your life. But that's not up to me to come up to you and be like, do this and do that. No, I just want to say I love you. I love you. You're welcome in the family. You're welcome in the house of God. The door is open, my friend. And the way you're going to do that today is you're going to pray a prayer with me one line at a time. And then I want you to repeat it back to me, okay? And scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you'll be saved. It's that simple, all right? So I want you to do that with me today. So everyone in the room is going to pray this prayer so that you're not alone. Everyone in the room, we've already had 15 people just at Central Campus this weekend pray this prayer. So you won't be alone. Trust me, there'll be a lot of people as well. I want everyone in the room to pray it with you though, so you don't feel like you stand out or anything like that. And then after that, I'm going to pray for you. So if you're in this place and you're away from God, or if you're in this place and you've never known Him, pray this prayer with us. Give your life to God. I promise you, it's going to get better from here on out. So everybody together, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sin. And He rose again to give me hope, joy, peace, life, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. And I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Would you help me to live this new life the way you designed it? Special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come on, praise God in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, I want you to text the word SAVE to the number 25827. It'll be up on the screen there. If you do that, we'll send you a great gift in the mail. We love being generous. We're obsessed with generosity. So please text that word to that number. Receive that gift today. The other thing, though, is in a minute, I'm going to count to three. I want you to lift up your hand, and I'm going to pray for you. I just want to pray that God will bless you as you get ready to walk out today. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person in the room, let's give people the privacy that they deserve, making the greatest, most influential decision of their entire lives. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time and you want me to pray for you, well, no one's looking around. On the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. Lift up your hands all over this place. One, two, three, four, five, six. Anybody else? Seven. Anybody else? Eight. Anybody else? You can put your hands down. But let's all reach out our hands right now in faith and pray for those eight people. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a God who welcomes us into your family. God, we don't have to be perfect. We just have to want to be in the family. God, I ask you to bless those eight people, Lord God, right now. Bless them. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds. I pray that the shame and the pain of their past mistakes, God, things they've done or things that have been done to them or around them, God, that all that shame would break off their lives right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And in its place, your Holy Spirit would bring hope, joy, peace, life, joy that lasts forever, peace that can't be taken away in Jesus' name. God, I pray as they walk out the doors today in just 10 minutes that there would be a pep in their step as they realize that I'm on track now to live the life that the Creator of the universe designed for me. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Text the word SAVE to the number 25827 and get that free gift in the mail this week. Hey, service will close in about 10 or 11 minutes, and we've still got to, you know, we're going to have time now to pray for people. After that, we're going to take up the offering. That'll just take a minute, and then we'll sing one more just song and end this show today in a praise party, amen? And so that'll be great. But before any of that, what's most important now is that you have an opportunity to respond to what God is doing in your heart, okay? In this spirit of authenticity, I'm just praying, God, right now, that a spirit of authenticity would fall on every one of us. That God, fear of people's thoughts, fear of imperfection, fear of what they might say or do or take from us, God, that would be gone in Jesus' name. And overcoming that would be a desire for healing and wholeness and blessing. Amen. So now we're going to open up the front. And if there's something in your life that you need to change, something in your life that you don't want to snowball, then come and get prayer right now. Even if it has snowballed, come and get prayer right now. Because I'm believing for a victory in your life today. That in humility and openness, you can come to the front and receive prayer. And we have a team of fired up, righteous, powerful and effective prayer warriors waiting to help you find freedom and wholeness in Jesus' name. So come on down the front right now as we spend 5 minutes worshiping the Lord and praying for people. Come on down.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.